Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. This episode is sponsored by The LM Experience. The LM Experience is an event management firm located in Houston, Texas. We're committed to a high level of execution for any type of event. From galas to workshops, we're sure to make your event an experience. Need assistance with your virtual event? We're here to help. Contact us for more information at www.thelmexperience.com. We don't just manage events, we execute experiences. Jennifer Colosimo is a 7 Habits expert, as well as Senior Vice President of Sales, where she leads the sales and operations for the U.S. and Canada for Franklin Covey, which is a global performance improvement firm. She's co-authored the book Great Work, Great Career with Stephen Covey, who is the author of the 40 million bestseller, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. She's been a keynote speaker and a panelist at numerous business, government, and educational conferences, speaking on leadership and management, as well as many other topics. She's delivered on-site training and keynotes to more than 50,000 people across 45 states and 12 countries. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks so much for joining me on Convo with Keisha. How are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Keisha.
I am so excited to talk with you. Like, you and everyone at your organization, and I'm not going to reveal it right now. I'm going to let you tell them, are like my favorite people because you keep me in line and organized. So I just love, love, love y'all. Y'all have the best products on the market. So they're probably wondering what I'm talking about, Jennifer. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell them a little bit about you?
You bet. So what we didn't talk about when we've talked previously is yesterday at Franklin Covey, I was actually promoted. So I know. Thank you. Thank you. I am now the president of our enterprise division. And what that basically means is we're an organization that focuses, we sell to other organizations on how to improve performance. It might be about leadership, personal productivity, trust, execution, building customers for life, customer loyalty. And so I have the great opportunity to work with our US and Canada folks who sell and deliver our content. And also we have over 100 offices around the world that work with different organizations on helping them improve performance, primarily focused on the big things that they need help improving performance on. And often leadership development is one of those biggest.
Oh my gosh. Like, that is awesome.
Well, thank you. I'm excited. You know, whenever you've gotten a promotion, I know you've gotten them. I know your listeners have gotten them. At least I do this. That's awesome. And then now what am I going to do?
That is so funny, my friend.
Well, I'm really happy to be here and talk with you a little bit about what we do and how it might impact the people that listen to all of your work and maybe their organizations.
Yes, because most of my audience is female entrepreneurs, either small business, or just starting out in entrepreneurship, where I think it's pivotal to be organized. Like, it is so important for you to have your ducks in a row because you don't know how much you could miss out on if you don't.
It's true. And it's, I think, harder than ever for us to be organized, even pre-pandemic, with so many of us going, being at home.
Right.
Those of us who are lucky enough to be employed and continuing to contribute, we're at home. That adds a different layer, and where work can just blend into your personal life all day, every day. And even previous to that, really understanding what's most important for you to accomplish versus just paying attention to every ding, beep that comes your way.
Right, right. You know what I have found out? And I know people on here may blast me, Jennifer, but I do not care. I have learned the power of the do not disturb on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it now. I know sometimes people are like, well, that's not good business. No, first of all, you need to schedule an appointment to call me in the first place. Mm-hmm. You need to have scheduled time to be able to do that. But it's so much freeing, like you say, the dings and the bings and all of mm-hmm. that. It's so distracting.
It is. I mean, if you think of a really, truly, highly effective person, one of the things Franklin Covey's known for is the book and then the learning and development that we do around the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. As an entrepreneur, you have a vision. You have, and you're really excited about your clients who deserve your unmitigated focus. You've got to be thinking about, okay, based on my vision, based on what I'm trying to accomplish, how do I put personal management in place so that I'm focused on the most important? And then, of course, some urgencies will come. We all know right. that. Some urgencies will come. But you can't be completely led through just by urgency.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is so crazy for people to feel like they can function like that. But I'm so glad you brought up the book, because that is one of my favorites. It is one that when people ask me, hey, what are you reading, or what have you read, or what do you recommend to new entrepreneurs? It's a book, Jennifer, that's evergreen. It's for the startup. It's for the person who's kind of got their way and know what they're doing, but it's also for the seasoned person, I think, as well. So talk to us about the legacy of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Well, thank you for that. It is, we recently this year in 2020 celebrated the 30th anniversary of the book, if you can believe that, 30 years, and released an additional component. We didn't change any of the words in the original. As you said, it's evergreen, but added pieces at the end of each chapter that applied the principles that are so timeless to updated practices, new ways to implement. And Dr. Covey, who passed mm-hmm. several years ago, his son Sean wrote the additional components. So the 7 Habits, frankly, it's sold 40 million copies. If you didn't get taken off the bestseller list, because of course bestseller lists want to, at a certain point you time out, it would be right. in its 1500th week on the bestseller.
What?
Yeah, it's in many, many languages. And I think the power of it truly is when you read this book, it's not that the ideas are original, that no one would have ever thought of that, or that it hasn't been thought up even, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago. It's the way that it was organized so that it builds from you being personally effective, what we call private victory, to right. then how that helps your, and really drives your public victory, your relationships and what you achieve with others.
Exactly. And that's why I said, to me, this book, it doesn't just focus on business. But I think business and personal are so intertwined to where you have to be great or good or effective in both, in order for you to kind of be whole. Because I can recall a lady, I was at a function, and she said, what you don't deal with in your personal life will show up in your business. And I never understood.
Oh, Keisha, I lost your sound. Are you there, ma'am?
this book is just great. I love it. I absolutely love this book.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I love that statement. I hadn't heard it before, but what you don't deal with personally will show up professionally. Yes. I mean, it's an integrity issue, and you even used the word, are you whole?
Yeah.
Are you the same person? I mean, think about if you saw me at the grocery store, or if you saw me at a work event, or if you and I were working together, am I someone who you can tell is grounded in values and is effective? And we can talk about some of the ways what I mean by that. Right. But we have Sean, who wrote some of the components of the new updated Seven Habits. He's a best-selling author in his own right. Many of his books are for children and teens using these same principles.
Exactly. So let's talk about the principles, because I think they alone, just the Covey organization within itself has a certain level of stature that you just expect. Like for me, when that name is said, when I see the products, there's just a level of expectancy that I know of excellence that's going to come out. But those principles, they're very, very like good and timely. So why do you think the principles from the book are so timeless? Like, especially right now with everything that we're going through, why do you feel like they're timeless?
Well, let me list what some of them are, and then let's talk about why I think about it. So the number one foundational principle is choice. That no matter what happens to you, no matter who says something, whatever happens in your environment, you have the choice regarding how you're going to act, what you're going to say. And that actually gives tremendous power in even the most challenging times.
Right.
Researchers say, of course, some of your happiness might be based on genetics or circumstances, but one that can't be ignored is focusing on the things you can control. And that's a hard one, because there's a lot of times, at least I'm tempted, someone is angry at me, so therefore I'm defensive and angry back.
Yeah.
And this basically says, no, I can visualize a different reaction, a way that actually moves us forward, that's more effective and more in alignment with who I want to be. I don't have to just react to what comes my way.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Like, just hearing you say that and thinking about reading some of the book again, because I cycle through it like at least once a year. It's a book that I read like every year, because I think, you know, people make, you know, resolutions, but, you know, I think when we go books that resonate with us, we need to reread those books, because every time I've read it, I get something different out of it. I can recall being a new entrepreneur and reading it and maybe not really understanding all of the habits and things like that. But now, being someone who's been in business, you know, like 8 years, and understanding fully, like, okay, I know what this is, but also getting like a newfound, like a renewing of what those habits are and what they mean. So I just love how well it's written. So I know you talked about a few. Can you walk us through the seven habits?
Sure. So I was talking about habit one, which is focused on the principle of choice.
Yes.
And it's so foundational, because to do the others effectively, you have to truly believe, no, I can choose how I'm going to behave.
Right.
The second one, habit two, is really focused on purpose and vision. So you can take that at a short time frame. We are in a challenging environment right now. How would I like people that I work with, live with, live by, how would I like them to remember how I adapted and what I did in the particular situation, all the way out to, what about when I'm 80 and we're all at an 80th birthday party? What would I like people to say about me as tribute statements? Right. So having a vision and purpose, you and I talked a little before we started the call about personal management, and you talked about your passion for that. So if I've made choices, I've got purpose and vision. Habit three is, how well do I manage my time, my choices, in order to achieve that vision?
Yeah.
That's what we call private victory, which then moves to, okay, but then I interact with the world, public. Mm-hmm. So do I have a mindset of getting to mutual benefit? Very, very hard. Do I have a mindset that we might think of something better than either of us thought of before? How to get to that mutual benefit through cooperation, or what I consider so critical right now, the principle of empathy.
Yes.
Can I empathize, which is a skill. It isn't a felt thing. It's, can I really listen to Keisha and understand what she thinks and how she feels, so that we can more effectively at the habit six, collaborate, cooperate. Mm-hmm. And then finally, there's a big habit that surrounds all of them about being truly sharp, meaning physically, mentally, social, emotionally, and spiritually, however you find meaning, because I can't do any of these things if I don't maintain my own sharpness.
Right, right. That, I mean, all of that just gave me chills, because they build on top of each other. And if we are being real, like you said, it's like this time that we're going through right now, everybody needs to be reading that book. Everybody needs to be practicing every last one of those habits, because we need all of them right now.
We need all of them right now. And, you know, the more challenging the times, the more applicable the principles are. Right. It isn't terribly hard for me to do some of these things in really easy, good times with no conflict and nothing I'm struggling about.
Exactly.
But when there's a lot of energy, there's energy around us that we're dealing with, and no matter how positive we are, how are we bringing that energy to bear to help solve things?
Yes. Yes. And I love that you say energy, because energy is so important. I think people feel like it doesn't make a difference because, you know, we're all home and trying to stay safe, but energy really is what's going to help keep us going, I think, to activate those habits or to be well-versed in them, to be able to serve others, especially if in business.
Right, right. You know, if you think about some of the things that have made, and again, I've shared this with you. I feel incredibly lucky, very blessed to be employed, very much.
Yes.
And so I know that I'm saying this from a position of relative privilege for those industries and individuals who are struggling. It's still a struggle to interact with people all day, every day via choose your tool. It might be Zoom, Teams, Adobe Connect. Don't feel that personal presence as if you and I were in the same room building off each other's energy. So it's even more important that we are focused and doing everything we can to, again, come up with solutions in business and otherwise that we can help solve.
Right, right. Oh my gosh. I hope y'all listening, because my friend is dropping some nuggets here that we pray are helpful to you during this time, because it is such, you know, a really crazy time. So we talk about this time of uncertainty because it's really where we are, Jennifer. Like, we don't know when this is going to end. And I was telling someone the other day, and it almost made me a little fearful, because it was like we were talking about, you know, that this was something that not only affects us here in the United States, but it is a global pandemic. Like, the entire world is affected. And it almost made me a little fearful, like, there's nowhere I can go to get away from this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's nowhere to go, because it's everywhere.
It is. And, you know, you think about our ability to, organizations often apply these habits to things like innovation and really being able to build out the next level of their business. Well, let's get really basic as we think about that. And I'll use your example. I've had it myself. Somebody yesterday was talking about, well, you know, that vaccine won't be safe. You know, all the things that you can hear.
Right. And
I had to remind myself, and I'm lucky that I'm so steeped in it every day, I get to choose, not necessarily the feeling as it hits me. I can't choose the fear, but I can choose what I do with it and what I say and how I act and how I try to bring some forward movement, whatever that looks like, because I personally can find myself feeling very stuck right now.
Yeah, exactly, especially right now.
Forward movement by practicing some of these ideas. And you know, I found some personal energy in just letting go of my thoughts, my concerns, and focusing outward on other people and where they are and building that understanding and seeing where can I be helpful.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh, I just love that, love that. So what do you think is the most important or most helpful of the seven habits, like right now?
Well, you know, we've kind of been talking about it. One, it's actually habit five. It's focused on being, of having empathic communication, trying to build mutual understanding. The habit itself is called seek first to understand, then to be understood. That actually came out of the prayer of St. Francis originally. You can see it in there. That habit, think about this for a minute. Listening to understand, not to reply. Thinking, I'll have more influence when I listen first. Respectfully, bringing respect, focusing on my intent, using I messages. And this habit of listening, think about all the things that we've studied in school or that we read about. They focus on, can we speak well? Can we write well? Can we convey ourselves in a way that we're understood? But how much training, focus have we put into, do I really listen? Or am I just listening to wait until your lips stop flapping? And then I will jump in and tell you the truth. And it's not saying that you don't need to be understood. You do. You should get, we should all get our chance to be understood. But it's hard in the energy of our moment and really always to take our own hat off and really understand another person.
Wow, that's good stuff. Like, this is good stuff. People, I don't think we're being that now, you know? Like, we're not being empathetic to other people, because even those of us, I was in grocery retail before I, you know, as I say, retired myself. It was hard some days, Jennifer, to get up and go to that job. Fear of being infected, fear of my staff being infected, but also just having empathy for other people. Like, some people don't have anyone and they do have to come outside and they do have to go to the grocery store. It just kind of opened my eyes to every day that I left out of there and I wasn't sick and I didn't get, you know, I didn't get sick or anyone in my family to get sick, like how blessed I was. And I should just be happy for that and show other people a little grace, you know, in the meantime.
I think you're really tapping into it. It is the ability to not only show grace, but if I am, I'm valuing you. I'm not just tolerating. I'm not just saying, oh, I can tolerate that that's how people are. But I'm thinking that person is very different than me. And I value that. In an organization, if both of you think exactly the same way and do everything exactly the same way, one of you isn't needed.
All right. I see you onto something, my friend. I never thought about it like that.
I mean, maybe we can split the tasks, right. but other than splitting tasks and just getting some basic stuff done, if we're really trying to go next level, as you think about entrepreneurs and yourself as an entrepreneur, find somebody who's completely got different skills, a different way of seeing things. They'll bring more to it than you just bringing on somebody who seems exactly like you. Right, it's nice because you don't ever have much conflict, but you also don't come to new and creative ways to do things.
Exactly. And I think that's where we get comfortable. Like, why are we okay with that? It just really makes you think.
Well, I think also, you know, just as human beings, There's a lot of discussion, of course, in the world right now about bias.
Right.
Bias in and of itself is a natural thing. I have a bias that I think it's really good, and I really tried hard that when my kids grew up, they went to school. I have a bias for education. Nobody would say to me, well, that was a bad bias. Right. Don't try to raise your kids to go to school. But they can be bad if I don't examine, okay, I got to that because of my past experiences and it might be wrong. I got to this because of the last person I interacted with like that, and that might be wrong. We've just got to be questioning, does this make sense? Mm-hmm. And am I creating enough connections that I can challenge and question myself? Because we sometimes have those unconscious bias,
yes,
that aren't being helpful at all.
Exactly. They hurt us a lot more than we think.
A lot more than we think.
Yeah, they hurt us a lot more than we think. And then I think we should be very cognizant of the people who we are around, the people who we impact, and how those biases sometimes, you know, just they trickle over, if that's even the correct term to use, but it affects them too.
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does. So, I mean, part of actually, although it was never thought of this way, since we've talked about this book being 30 years old, it wasn't such a salient point at that point. But part of it is truly at the pinnacle of these habits, truly deep down, do you value differences?
Right.
And one of the things that's interesting is it's hard to value if you aren't personally secure in who you are. That's one of the reasons the first few habits focus on choices that you make, your own vision, your own values, because otherwise you and I might have a disagreement, mm-hmm, and me not being right actually threatens my self-worth. It's not just about me being right right now. It's that I have to win this because I'm kind of fearful, not sure of myself. Often arrogance shows up in people that are fearful.
Yes, yes. And I don't know if this is a good term, you know, as well, Jennifer, but it's almost a little selfish.
It is, but, you know, it's hard from the outside to know what drove it or how they got there. One of the things that we talk about, and again, I talk about it when I talk to clients. I did not write this content. I'm feeling humble representing somebody else's work here, but I do work with clients that are using it, is we talk about the fact that we have some unique human gifts that can help us here. We have imagination. We can visualize something being different. That's the first one.
Yeah.
The second one is we can be self-aware. We can choose to be self-aware and say to ourselves, huh, when I do that, it doesn't work out so well for me or other people.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I came from something dysfunctional in my previous workplace or even my family.
Right.
I have the ability to look at that and say, that's not what I want to do. I want to do something different. I can be self-aware, visualize the future, and then I have independent will. I have the ability to choose to be different and be what we call a transition person, mm-hmm, someone who breaks out of a bad pattern, whether it's in the workplace or in their family of origin or their existing family. Of course, I'm not in any way minimizing the challenge that's in all of that I just said. Right. Those are hard things to do, but we do have those gifts to help us.
Exactly. Exactly. I think those are such great things, and it's so pivotal. You know, it helps us pivot right now, during a time of uncertainty where we have no clue. We don't know what's going to happen, but we need to do something. So that brings me to my next point. You know, let's talk about our college students. You know, some of them are really, really having to deal with some transitions now. Mm-hmm. I think this book is good for them, you know, but do you think the principles within it can be relevant for college students?
Oh, definitely relevant. As I mentioned, Sean Covey has written books for children, for each of the habits. And in fact, at Franklin Covey, we have a group that works solely with K through 12 education. We work with 5,000 schools in 50 countries focused on the mission is to develop leaders one child at a time. And let's apply that then at the out of childhood, but young adulthood. I personally actually not just sympathize, but empathize with how hard it is right now. For those who missed graduation and didn't get to go to prom, and now we've got those that don't get their first month of being a freshman in college or all the things that they expected and looked forward to. Wow, I didn't have to go through that. I don't know what to do other than to say it's an unprecedented time, but these principles will help you figure out, okay, but when this is over, and it may not be over in the way we visualize, over may be just how do we adapt completely in a differential way. This helps us drive that adaptation, that thinking about the future, saying, okay, no, I'm not going to class right now. In fact, they just quarantined my entire dorm and or sent us home and or we never went. They kept us virtual. But out of this experience, what do I want to gain? How am I going to act? How am I going to adapt? I mean, truly, Keisha, what's our other option?
Right. We don't have one other than that. You're right. That's a whole fresh perspective just for me. And I know I'm beyond college years. I'm in my 40s, but that just really gave me a different perspective to think about. Like, what else can I do?
Well, I know. And I know so much of, and I honestly think justifiably, so much of the world, including myself at times, others at times, feels anxiety. I mean, that is a normal reaction. Your brain wants to know what's around that corner and keep you safe. That's what your brain's designed to do. The back of your brain, your amygdala is saying, is there a tiger around that corner? And I need to be looking and knowing what to do so I'm safe. So when we don't know what's going to happen, it's natural that anxiety is the reaction. Right. So the challenge is not having that go into low grade. And I'm not talking clinical. Clinical issues are outside of my scope. You know, hear me, if anybody has clinical issues, they should definitely seek help from professionals outside of myself. For those of us who may not have it at the clinical level, what are we doing to kind of combat that low-grade anxiety, knowing full well we can't see around the corner? If somebody could get on right now and tell you this is when there'll be a vaccine and this is the next time you could get on a plane and to go outside of the country and this is the next time, wow, would I sigh a sigh of relief? But well, since I can't, what can I do?
Exactly. That all makes sense. And I think too, it kind of helps calm your mind somewhat too. Like for me, it's calming almost.
It's calming. I mean, that one of the things that is talked about in the seven habits, if you kind of visualize with me a circle, at the top of it is the word see. So think of your mindset. You just said calming in your mind. Then it turns around a bit in the circle to do, and then get. So what it's basically saying is you do have to challenge your mindset and accept or figure out for yourself an effective mindset and not just work on your behavior if you're going to get a differential or better result. It's got to start in your mind.
Right. Oh my gosh, Jennifer, this is good stuff. Like y'all, I hope y'all taking notes because I'm over here writing. I'm over here taking notes because this is good stuff. We are in a pivotal time right now to where we all need that dose of reality, but you're giving us like so much hope with, yes, it may look this way right now. However, this is what we can look forward to, or this is what you can do now in that space. You talked about being stuck. I recall one day last week, I was so stuck that day. I couldn't do anything. Like, mm-hmm. I literally had to cancel all my appointments for that day. And as a business owner who is pivoting, well, you know, I feel like I've already pivoted, but it's a pivotal point for me because now a lot of people are inquiring about, you know, virtual events and things like that. But I had to take that day. I literally could not show up for my clients because mm-hmm. I was stuck and I was sad. And it was where I got to, you know, get alone by myself and kind of, you know, like get with my thoughts. I prayed and meditated. You know, it's like, God, there's so much fear. There's so much uncertainty, you know, out here that I don't know what I'm doing. And he reminded me of this prayer that I prayed to him, you know, before I decided to step out about, you know, reveal to him, you know, reveal to me what holds my mind hostage and mm-hmm. to show me what I fear the most. And it was like, you know, that was one of those dangerous prayers that I was just like, I want to be effective, which mm-hmm. is the word. And so I know that I have to let those things go. But like you said, there was hope after that. It was hope that, yeah, that's the reality. And Keisha, what are you going to do about it? Is mm-hmm. there anything you can do about it? You got to pull yourself together and you got to just keep going.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Well, I'm glad and really praise you for taking the day. I mean, as we discussed, And I know everyone has different things and things they can choose to do, but what you're really tapping into, the seventh habit that I said that circle all of them is called sharpen the saw.
Yeah.
And the reason it's called that is it's a metaphor of, let's say you and I walk up upon someone trying to cut down a tree, and they're trying to cut down the tree with a really dull blade. I mean, we watching it thinking there's no way they're taking that tree down. They're barely making any cuts. And so I suggest, why don't you stop and sharpen your saw? And they're like, I'm too busy sawing. I can't stop and sharpen the saw. What you did is you stopped that day and sharpened your saw, which is way more effective than you continuing to try to saw that day. And who knows what the results would have been when you're not in exactly the right place to do that. And right. Now you come back sharper than ever.
Yes. Yes. That's a great analogy. And that makes sense. We keep trying to, keep going when we're not at optimal. And it reminds me, I was at a luncheon. This was pre-COVID. And the speaker was saying, everything that's in the glass is for me. What's overflow, that's for everyone else. And then she was speaking of a sense of, you know, self-care and how, you know, we have to first show up for ourselves before we can truly show up for our clients because, you know, we won't be 100% for them. And that will hurt them in the end.
Truly. I mean, you gave a great example. But even think about when you're physically ill or you're having you're having some level of an emotional or a social crisis. You haven't stayed in touch with your friends. You haven't had the social supports that you need right. with your family and friends. You start to get a dull blade. And of course, I mean, I've done lots of things with a dull blade. It's just how dull are we going to let it get? I love what your speaker said, that self-care makes us so much better with our clients and with the world.
Right. Right. And it made me think too, Jennifer, like how many times have you already been showing up with this dull blade, to use your terms, and mm-hmm. you're still trying to chop down a tree for a client and right. you're figuring out why it's not working.
Right. I know. And once you think about it that way, it's common sense. But yes. If you're like me, you get in the flow of your days and your weeks and you don't even consider, wait, what have I been eating?
Right.
Wait.
Yes.
Right. So it is one of those challenges. And to keep ourselves focused on that in a way that No, I mean, nobody's perfect. I've often said, if my body was a car, I would say the maintenance required was just way too much.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Just way too much. I mean, when you think of even the list of appointments you're supposed to go to each year to keep yourself healthy, once you go to the dentist and the eye doctor and the screenings and the different appointments and then eat these things and do this much exercise. I mean, I hate to say it in a way that sounds like it's awful, but we have to spend a lot of time to keep this machine going.
We do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, I agree. 1,000%. And we have to be in tune with, you know, it. I told a friend last week, she was saying how tired she was, but, you know, she actually stepped out as well. And she was like, I'm trying to get all this stuff together and get it done. And I said, listen, either you're going to do what your body's saying, or it's going to force you to do what it's saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to do it. I say, especially as an entrepreneur, because we have to pay attention to what our bodies are telling us. And we have to get adequate rest, even at a time like this. There's so much going on, global pandemic, you know, racial injustices. It's a lot that is going on. And so we have to be in tune, or we could really lose, you know, our effectiveness for not only just our clients, but even for ourselves, for our family. Like, you can't show up as the wife, the mom, the sister, the cousin, or whatever, when you're not, you know, at your peak level. You're not optimal. Like, you could be sitting at a family function and not even really be there.
Right. You should be enjoying these things, you know, that you've been, you're finally getting to see, maybe in a social distance way or small group, right, but you're getting to see some people and you're not even there. You're not even there. I have a good friend. I remember well when she said this to me. She said, when you think of tools, you're the only tool you've got.
Wow.
And especially for entrepreneurs, you are the only tool you've got. So that is your main thing, your brain, your health, the things that you can bring, the insights that you bring to your client, the products, the services. It only comes if you're there mentally, physically, you're there.
Exactly. That is so, so true. Oh my gosh, this is good stuff. I'm loving it. So, new promotion. Yay, girl.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank
That's
you.
That's exciting. I love when women win. No offense to my male listeners, I'm sorry, but I love it when women win. Like, yeah. I get so excited.
Thank you so much. I have a big smile, and you are the first, Keisha, person outside my organization that I've told.
Yes, ma'am. I love it.
I texted, I have two daughters, they're grown. I texted them, my husband. My mother doesn't like to text, so she doesn't know yet. So we'll send her the link.
Oh my gosh, that is so awesome. Like, I'm super, super happy, you know, for you. I just, like, just share with us, like, what has that been like for you personally to not only teach, but live out these timeless habits? Because you, my friend, have been living them. I mean, look at where you are. Look at how you have affected change in your own organization. I mean, what has that been like for you?
You know, it's number one, I'm honored to be able to represent work. This isn't something that I wrote, right? You've got all these entrepreneurs on that are your listeners, and this isn't, but I get to represent it. And frankly, the part that I find the most motivating is thinking about how this truly motivates me more than anything else. And sometimes people don't believe it because they're like, wait, it's got to be prestige or money. And of course we need money. It's not like I'm saying I work for a reason and that's both to contribute and to earn my own living, but it's really the impact on our clients. I've seen tremendous impact utilizing the content that helps not just individuals, but whole teams and organizations be more effective. Mm-hmm. And that keeps you going because there's always something that goes wrong, right? Something goes wrong every day, or 700 things go wrong every day. But the fact that you can see change being made, and then the part that always sometimes, I guess it worries me is I think, I'm doing my very, very best. I try, mm-hmm. I read, I think about what I do, and me and others in my organization and all the people that have practiced this, we're human, so we make mistakes. And that's the part where I'm thinking, oh, I just talked to Keisha about how important that is, and I didn't do that well myself 1 hour later. Wow. So it's always a continuous focus and an attempt to get better. And then I think forgiveness both for myself and for others when, of course, I can't do it perfectly. I can't.
That's true. That's true. That's so true. And to allow us to let ourselves off the hook sometimes. Like,
yes,
like you said, it's human. It's just what, you know, we do. I think I learned that lesson kind of hard once my kids got a little bit older because my kids are grown too. And one is even out of the house. But I can recall when their dad and I divorced and it was just us three. Mm-hmm. And I have a son and a daughter. So I got the best of both worlds. And so,
yes,
you know, we were talking about, you know, being kind to each other during that time. It was an adjustment for us all. It was really, really difficult. And so even with my ex-husband, you know, one of the things we said was we would always remain friends. And so it was an adjustment for us after 10 years of being together to this. And so we talked about, you know, like being kind to each other. And during that discussion, you know, my son said, well, Mom, you know, you haven't really been very kind. I know that you're going through something, that you and Dad are going through something, but, you know, we're going through something too. Like, we're human beings, mm-hmm. just like you are. And oh my gosh, I must have bawled for like an hour. I felt very bad and very convicted, but I needed to hear that because I needed to hear that I didn't have to be strong. I didn't have to be strong by myself, that they were old enough to understand what was going on. Not that they fully knew everything, you know, but they understood like it's a transition for us. It's difficult for all four of us. And mm-hmm. then we gotta be kind. So it was like my son calling that out was like, I just told y'all to be nice to each other. And, you know, but here I am, you know.
I know. And isn't the very worst. I in fact, always am looking for feedback at work. I can work. You can give me feedback. It can be positive. It can be constructive. It can be, you should do this better. And I listen to it and I think about it. But when your kids say something, oh, I've been in the exact same place. And you need to hear it and they're saying the right things. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying they're the ones who can really make you look at yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, I wasn't that kind right then. But it's horrible. I would have cried all day.
Yes, yes. And you know, when kids are smaller, like that's when to me they're the most brutal. Mm-hmm. But they do mm-hmm. tell you the truth. You know, it's a saying that old people and kids, they're the most brutal critics. Like they will tell you the truth without thinking twice.
I know. It's good. And it sounds like it made a difference to you.
Yes, it did. It totally did. And it made the transition a little bit better for us all. To where, you know, he and I just reverted back to that friendship we had prior to marriage, and he's still a good, great dad to a 22 and 24-year-old. But again, it was, you know, being able to be human in that moment and realize that although I know, you know, I knew better, I wasn't doing better at that time, and it mm-hmm. was okay as long as I was able to catch it.
Congratulations on being friends and doing such a great job through that. Kudos to you.
Thank you. Yes, that was very important, I felt like, for us, because it was going to be a bad effect on the children if not. But really, not only that, we were friends prior to that. So why did we have to hate each other? We just didn't love each other anymore, mm-hmm. the way that mm-hmm. we once did. Life happened and, you know, things just didn't go as we thought. And so it may or may not be anyone's fault, but it doesn't matter now. We're at this crossroads. And so what are we going to do at this crossroads? Are we going to hate each other for absolutely no reason when we both played a part in this? Or are we going to do, you know, defy the odds?
Right.
Do what other people don't do, you know, and be friends and hang out. And I mean, we do all of those things, you know, even now that the kids are grown, still hang out as a family. He's remarried. We all hang out. Everybody hangs out.
Well, congratulations. That you said some of the things that I shared gave you hope. You definitely give me hope right there. That's awesome.
Yes, I absolutely love it. So let's talk about the 7 habits. Like, I am so hooked on these. These are like really good things. Have you been able to see, you know, any examples of how the 7 habits have had a positive impact, you know, on individuals?
I have. I've definitely, there were years that I was with Franklin Covey that I was one of our consultants that delivered it to organizations. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people come up after class and say, this has changed my whole perspective. I'm going to go home and call my oldest son from whom I'm estranged right now. I've had people say, now I can see why I have challenges with the people who report to me. Mm-hmm. Really seen it across the board at individual levels where it's had that relationship and sometimes team impact and organizational impact. Multiple times.
Wow. That's, you know, like, it just gives me goosebumps, like, to be a part of something like so great to where even so many years later, it is still affecting positive change. Like, it's impacting people all over this entire world. Like you say, y'all are in other countries, schools, you know, to be able to impact kids at certain levels early on. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, one of the things I really like about the work that we've done in schools is it's not like it's a separate curriculum. It, mm-hmm. The content gets integrated into the day-to-day of other lessons or the day-to-day and works with the whole school staff, principals, folks in the lunchroom, teachers, custodial staff, all of the group works together to how do we build leaders one child at a time.
Yes. Yes. That is so, so great. I absolutely love that. I think it's just so important, and you all are one of those organizations that has always really seemed to step up as it relates to children and education, because it's so many people, like, they complain about kids and they're not getting this or that, but y'all are out there walking the talk. Like, you're saying, yeah, kids need these skills, they need this too, but not only are you saying it, you put your money where your mouth is, and you're putting your products and services, as well as teaching them how important these things are. These are life skills that are needed.
It is. While we, you know, are working, and again, with schools and with organizations, the name of the book's Highly Effective People.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say sort of effective people. And notably, it doesn't say successful. Part of what Dr. Covey did in his research is he was a college professor when he wrote this book. Mm-hmm. He had researched success over the past 200 years previous to that in the U.S. How was success defined? And he came away saying it isn't success that we're looking for. We're looking for highly effective. And it begins at the inside with your own character.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is so, so true. Otherwise, how can you really, you know, truly be effective in any way?
Right.
At all. I love that. So what is different with this version of the book? And why is it important to include fresh insights, you know, for a new generation of leaders, because they're going to rise out of this pandemic.
Yeah. You know, like we've talked about in our conversation today, the principles themselves, choice, empathy, person, collaboration, mutual understanding, keeping yourself balanced. Those principles, just as I said them, they aren't going to go away.
Right.
They've been around forever. They're going to stay here forever. But how you implement that is different, as especially when you talk about personal management and all the different tools we can choose to use now. There's new and better ways to think about the implementation and making it most applicable to the situation at hand.
Right.
One of the main things that's in the book is we talk about focusing, and you and I talked a little bit about this, focusing on what we call your circle of influence.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of all the things you're concerned about which you have no influence, focus on what you can influence and really narrowing down to, even if it's on the borders, what can I influence versus spending my energy on things that I'm concerned about, but I certainly can't do anything about.
Right.
So it's applying them to the situation at hand so that people can see, okay, I was applying it this way, now here's how it applies in the new situation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, I love that. It's so, and it's like you say, these points are played over and over and over. Like, you all don't deviate from it. And your messaging is very clear. And it doesn't deviate from that, because that's what you really and truly not only believe, but you embody that as well. It shows in your work. It shows in how you show up for people. Like, that's just what that is.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes. So what advice do you think that Stephen would have for us today?
Oh, so people ask me that question and I always laugh because, you know, while I'm proud to continue his legacy, of course, I can't speak for him. But he was very, very forward thinking, and his lifelong mission was to unleash human potential. It really was stated. My work wants to do is unleash human potential. I really think, regardless of what you think of leadership, whether it's informal, a formal role, that leadership is a choice, not a position. Mm-hmm. And are we choosing to lead in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, and how will our leadership really also help unleash human potential?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I love that. So what's next for you, my friend? Like, what's next for you?
Well, you know, I would have had a different answer even yesterday, although I had been hoping this would come.
Right.
Really, as I think about what's next, I've got the challenge I'm sure so many of your listeners have had, as planning out, okay, well, now that I'm in this role, what are the most important things to accomplish? Who are the people I need to talk to? How do we move forward effectively? I think I've got several months of some transition in place. But what I hope to do with my career is to link on to what we were just talking about. Yeah. How does it impact our clients, and how does it impact the people that I work with internally in a way that we're our best?
Exactly. I think that is so important, and is very pivotal as a leader. It shows how you will show up for people when you think about, you know, long-term, how your leadership and the things that you enact will affect people. And I think that's what sets you apart from other leaders. It makes you even more of a great leader, because you think you're forward thinking, but it's almost servanthood. Like, you're not just thinking about, oh, well, I'm this big boss now and I'm going to do this. It's like, yeah, what can I do to serve others so that we can maintain that impact we have, but even be more impactful?
Well, thank you for that. I'm humbled, and I hope I can live up to that, Keisha.
Yes, I definitely know you are. So I have really enjoyed talking to you. I think I'm going to go pull my book out again and read it. I think I will do that. And sometimes I do pull it out, like when I know I'm giving a speech on something, which I was telling my assistant this morning, this was timed this perfectly because I'm giving a speech this weekend on how clear is your vision.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, yes. And I was so excited, she gave me, you know, that topic. At first I was just like, why would she give me that? Like, what is it? But I actually did reference it when I was, you know, planning for it last week, was what we talked about today, which was habit five, was first to seek understanding, and then be understood, because your vision is how you forecast for the future. It's like a mental picture of what you see in your future. And so how can you know that if there's no understanding there? And so I just kind of looped that in with, of course, I'm a Southern Baptist girl, PK. So I had to loop scripture in with it as well. And it's like, yes, you know, you have to really think about, what your vision is. And then even as Claudia and I was talking, and she was like, yeah, you know, you kind of could have went with habit two, which was, you know, begin with the end
in mind.
Yeah. She was like, you could have kind of looped that in too. And I'm like, you know what? I finished this last week, but I still got time to make.
Well, best of luck. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. So I have really, really enjoyed talking with you. I think you are just amazing. I am so happy for all the things that you are doing, you have done, how you've impacted change all over the world with going into other countries and schools and doing things like that. I just feel blessed to have virtually met you and just to have a connection with you. I'm really, really honored.
Thank you so much. The feeling is completely mutual. This was the best hour of my day. So thank you so much for having me on. And I hope we keep up the relationship in the future.
Yes, we will definitely stay in touch. So I'm getting ahead. So how can the listeners get connected with you? Because I definitely want them to do that.
Well, the best way to learn, and we've gone deep into some of the things that we offer at Franklin Covey, but we have a lot of, you know, white papers, things you can read for free, in addition to learning more about some of our other books. The best way is to go to Franklin Covey. So just as it sounds, like Benjamin Franklin, franklincovey.com.
Great. And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. I mean, I get all of y'all's emails because I'm always ordering something. From your website. Something. And I tell people, like, it's not, you order a planner and the refills, but it's not just that. You all offer other solutions, you know, in your product store besides just planners. Like, that's just one of the things that you offer.
Agreed. Well, thank you so much, Keisha. I so appreciate this conversation. Yes. It was so fun.
Yes, I had so much fun. So we'll definitely talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.